Man, I have so much to say. You ever get up here and just feel like there ain't even, like you got so much to say and you almost don't want to even start because there's just not.
Well, I know. That's why I got to do this.
Well, I know. I did. But, man. Well. Well, you know, what you said there about memorizing scripture. Something about Joy Thren, I think, posted one of them little flashcards on Facebook this past week of the alphabet verses. And it brought it back to me because I remember being a little bitty kid that was the first scriptures, how I memorized scripture. And it was so easy to memorize it then. And it's not that way anymore. But there are passages of scripture that was drilled into my head back when it was so easy to put it there. And man, I'm glad. I'm so glad that it's there. You know, sometimes it comes back to me quick. Sometimes it's something I haven't never thought about. And I ain't thought about it in years. And I can hear a phrase of it. And it's just like, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. And I don't know. We're going to be in Psalm 1. That's where we're going to be. And if you know it, I'm just going to quote the whole chapter because it's short and 6 verses long. So I'm going to quote it. And if you know it, I want you to quote it with me. Just say it because it's where we're going to be probably all month. And it's just something that's come to my attention. It's just come to my awareness here in the last little while. The Lord just kind of showed me some things about it that... And once again, like I've said before, you've heard me say it before, but I read this stuff and I study this stuff and I don't have anything to say about anything unless it's been something that the Lord's dealt with me about. You know, I was talking to that guy down there in Arkansas this past week, and that's what we were talking about Sunday school. And, you know, I shared with you what he told me about how he, you know, I mean, he felt like God had give him some new revelation and he'd come in and going to drop some truth bomb on the church and mic drop, walk away, and there you go. And yeah, they voted him out. Didn't want him for the teacher no more, and his wife called him a jerk and everything. And it was the spirit with which he delivered this truth. And, you know, and that's what I told him. I said, well, I've struggled with that a lot, you know. And really what it amounts to is that unless the Lord just beats me half to death with it first, that's the only way I can humbly come in and try to convey to you what he has, you know, tried to correct in my own life with this truth. And that's really the way I feel about this. I've spent most of my life on the other side of the fence of what I'm about to talk about this morning. But anyway, let's quote the scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. 6 little verses. And the whole, man, the key to it all is wrapped up right there in that. And so... Let me see if I can just try to stay with what I've got wrote down because there's... Okay. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, if I'm assessing myself and what I am, like what my life goals are, what my intent is with my life and everything, especially now being a Christian... You know, well, I would defend my position in saying that I don't seek counsel from ungodly people. I don't go out looking for it. I don't go find people that I would consider ungodly to try and get advice for concerning life and finances and spirituality and scripture and understanding that way. I don't, no. I don't go out there and seek that. You don't either, more than likely. See, this is the first thing that you trip on when you come to this. You know, if you just take this scripture as a generalized kind of out there for the masses, then it's good, you know, you can take it a certain way where, you know, if you just take it as, think about it this way. If you were a lost man and you were reading this and you were seeking some answers in life and you read this and it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, if you already have a conscience towards trying to do better in your life, you're going to know what is ungodly and what isn't. A lost person, a lot of times, will be more honest about what is ungodly than a professing Christian will, sitting in church. Most of the time, when a sinner is to the point where they're needing some answers, they're sick of their sin. That they don't want it anymore. The party's been over for a long time for them. That's why they're tired of it, and they're looking for some answers. People who claim to have known the Lord even for quite some time, they get bored with it. Sincerely, that's really the, you want to know the truth, it's the ugly reality of it. That's never been any more real to them than something that they get bored with over time. And so they start making provision to go back the other way. They start redefining what thing. Where do you think all this redefinition of what sin is? Where did it come from? Did it come from the world? No, it did not. It came from our churches. It came from apostate, false doctrine, and people who don't want to do right anymore. And that's the truth of the matter. You know, and you want to, I've seen, you know how they used to do, what do they call those at school when they do the bulletin boards, you know, in the hallways at school and stuff. And I seen one the other day and it said, you want to know, you know, look here to find the answers to loneliness, depression, anger, blah, blah, blah. And it was just mirrors, 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 mirrors. And the point they were trying to make was it starts with you. You know, the person you're looking at in the mirror is the main reason why you have most of the problems that you do. And that's in any aspect of life. You know, you want to, you know, you want, it sounds cliche, you've heard it 100 times, but change starts with you. Starts with me, right? Well, this ain't no different. This ain't no different. You know, what is counsel? Well, I mean, counsel is, what would you say? Is advice? Well, that's part of it. The definition for counsel is, hold on a second. I should have had this out. What do I do with it? Oh, here it is. I downloaded the 1828 dictionary on my phone last night. Got tired of looking up stuff that way. Well, come on, you silly thing. All right, it's advice, opinion, or instruction given upon request or otherwise for directing the judgment or conduct of another. Opinion given upon deliberation or consultation. So the implication is that it's advice that's given when asked for. Okay? Marriage counseling. When you go to marriage counseling, I mean, who in here went to marriage counseling before you were married? That sat under any kind of, well, I remember before Brother Owen would marry us, we had to go and meet with him a few times. And it wasn't marriage counseling like you got problems and now we're going to try to help you work through your problems. No, it was counsel before we were married, which I think is imperative. There ought to be 6 weeks of it before somebody gets married. I believe that. There ought to be some issues dealt with that nobody wants to talk about either. It would help. But, and he did some of that. You know, some things I thought, well, what are we talking about this for? I know why now. But counsel, you know, counsel. But see, once again, we tend to, as time goes by and as you begin to take pride in your knowledge of what you think is right and wrong and you kind of evolve into this person that you think is acceptable socially and in God's eyes too, and you start to become like morally autonomous. You know what that means? Autonomy. You know, like an island. You are your own little ecosystem contained in your own little thing that don't affect anybody else and nobody affects you. Except that's not how life works. And when people do this with morality and truth and what the Bible says, what God says about things, you know, they abandon that to become this other thing. Well, counsel is that way, you know. I mean, how many times have you had somebody come to you and say, I need your advice on something? And you know that they already have made up their mind about what they're going to do. They don't want your advice. They want your ally. They want you to be an ally with them because they've already made their choice. They're not looking for advice. It's done got so bad that way that I've even heard you say, you know, I ain't saying nothing to nobody. I'm not going to, you know, why would I waste my breath to try to give you advice when you're either looking for an ally, you don't care what I think, you just want me to be on your side, or you're going to draw me out here so you can just crash on me for the way I believe. That's really your, it's either a trap or it's exploitation. To the point where people who have the truth don't even really want to share it with anybody anymore. They won't even put it out there like they used to. I'm not saying you don't want to. I'm saying that people used to. I mean, if you asked a preacher, what do you think about this? He'd tell you. And it didn't matter if it was about drinking or smoking or cussing or fornication or immodesty or, you know, whatever it may be. And no matter who it concerned, he'd tell you the truth. And just let the chips fall where they may. Now you can't pry an answer out of anybody, a definitive answer about any subject on anything from anybody. I have never seen people dance around the truth more than they do now. You can't make anyone commit to a belief in anything. Not even people that I have confidence in their faith. They will find a way to not give you an answer. And the Bible says, be always ready to give an answer to any man who asks you. We don't do it. Why? Well, because the whole matter of not offending anybody and being accepted by everyone is the ruling factor of everything that goes on in today's society, you know, secularly or religiously. Yes. Why do you think that everyone acts like this transgender junk is normal? They make up 0.2% of the population of this country. And it is the thing you hear about every time you turn on the radio, every time you turn on the TV, every time you open up Facebook. You have to see that trash. And it's their ideology being thrown at your kids. So that they grow up and think that it's normal. Maybe dumb, but it's normal. And it's not. Because somebody won't stand up and say that it is an abomination unto God. And He will judge you. You're going to receive in your flesh just recompense as your reward for your perversion. Nobody will even say it though. The counsel that you're given on anything is laced with the ideology of the person giving it. Sadly, it's that way even from most churches. Then that's my point. They won't take God's word and say, okay, well, you know, you have this question. Why don't we go to the Word of God and see what He says about it? I talked to a preacher yesterday, a pastor of a church, and he couldn't even talk to me about the simplest things referring to Scripture because he didn't know his Bible. Well, I'd have to look at that. He'd say, I have to go and look at what it, I said, what does it say there in Romans 7? Well, I don't know. I'd have to have my Bible here and look at it. I bet you would. They don't read their Bible. They watch television. That's what they do. They watch shows. And I'll just insert this right here. I'm about done with it all. There ain't anything good at all. The trash that you got to swim through to find any kind of programming that's worth sitting and watching makes what's worth watching not worth it. You know, And it's comical to me, and we're hypocritical in this matter, because Netflix, it can get showed up that, oh, they've got Jesus portrayed as a sodomite on some show, some obscure show from Brazil, something, whatever, and it's on Netflix, and oh, all the Christians boycott Netflix. But they keep Hulu, and they keep Prime, and they keep this, and they keep that, and they still got all their... And why don't you look around on there and try to find something worth watching? You ain't gonna find it. And then we got VidAngel that cuts out all of the bad scenes that you can filter out, and now we can't watch what we want to watch because we don't have Netflix anymore, and it uses Netflix, and so I'm telling you, I'm speaking from personal experience. We sit down to try to watch something on TV at home, and we spend the entire hour trying to find something worth watching, and there's nothing on there. And I'm going to tell you something about the council of the ungodly. That's their pulpit. And how many times, I mean, we've been hearing this since we were kids, being preached and preached and preached and preached, and it was just the old moss backs that was, you don't like television, blah, blah, blah. You know, take your polyester suit and go back home and, you know, whatever. That was the attitude. Well, look where we are now. Look where we are now. And it isn't that, oh, we just, you know, we can't help but sit around and watch all this dirty television. No, we don't watch dirty television. You don't understand what I'm getting at. The ideology of the world is their counsel. It's their counsel. You know, you go to a marriage counselor, a preacher that wants to help your two children that are getting married here, these two young kids, and he's going to give them counsel of how to be a, you know, put God first in their marriage and how to not do stupid things like go exorbitantly into debt right out of the gate so that their marriage suffers because of the stress, the financial stress, all these other things that there are to bestow upon a young couple. That's godly counsel. It is God's ideals that He's trying to make you adapt in your life. And you need to understand that what I'm getting at here is that the world's counsel, the counsel of the ungodly, has the exact same intent for you and your children and your posterity as God's counsel does, to try to get you to adapt to it. They're wanting you to adapt to their ideals.
Yes, sir.
And we just lap it up like gravy.
Yep.
And don't even realize, honestly, sometimes that we're even doing it.
Right.
Until you see the fruits of it
come
out. And then it's too late.
Yep.
Now you just have a big mess to try to deal with. And there ain't no dealing with it. People follow after the world, and they follow after their ideals and their ideology about what's right and wrong, what's modest, what's profane, and what isn't, what's permissible for a Christian. Why would you as a Christian let the world dictate to you what is right for a Christian to do? It doesn't make any sense. And I've done this all my life. I don't seek God's counsel, godly counsel from godly people, because you want to know why? I already know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason why somebody would come to you and ask for advice when really they're seeking an ally instead, because they've already made their choice. That's what people do. You are morally autonomous. You have taken, like a smorgasbord, all the truth that's ever been given to you and saying, I like that, I don't like that, I like this, I don't like that. Now this is my religion, this is my morality, this is my ideals, and now I'm going to raise my kids that way. Oh, you do. We do. And then your kids grow up and they become a sodomite. And you don't know why. And you raised them in church and I did everything right. And I guess it's God's fault and the preacher's fault and them teachers' fault. And it's your fault. The fault and the blame lay squarely at my feet. If my children grow up and serve the devil, I did something wrong. Somewhere I walked after the counsel of the ungodly in some aspect of my life. You know, I there's things I won't tolerate in my life, but there's some things I will. And I don't seek God's counsel. I mean, I know what it says. Why would I go seek it? I know what it says. But I choose to do things the way that makes sense to me. See, here's the deal. Counsel is given by somebody for one reason. No matter whether it's evil or it's good,
whether it's wicked or whether it's godly. It's given to try to get you to conform to it. And the world tries to make you believe that you are your own person. And you are, you know, self-made. And you are, you know, got to be true to yourself. And all these cliche garbage that spews from their, you know, oracle of wisdom. And the fact of the matter is, there ain't never been a person born into this world except for Jesus that had an original thought of their own. You are a product of the counsel that you lend your ear to. And then you take it in your own worldly mind, and you take and make it into this thing that you become. And it is your identity that's so important to the world now. And it is such a lie. It's the biggest lie ever perpetrated on mankind. It's not your identity. It's not your ideas. It's not your individuality. You're just like everybody else that's followed after the nonsense and the garbage that the devil has put out there for you to eat. I seen a thing one time and it cracked me up. It said, "Nonconformists are all the same." There you go. And see, that is what the world's council has really, and they still do. It's you see it in everything. Disney is ate up with it. I'm so sick of seeing that garbage from them. It is made by sodomites. It's made for your children to turn their hearts and minds away from what this book says about righteousness and about holiness and about sanctification and about what's right and wrong. And it's not saying, be a queer. No, it's telling them, your mom and dad are wrong. Your mom and dad are wrong. They literally say, the stupid cartoons they make are about how this child knows what's best and the parents are wrong. And your little child is watching it and that's becoming their ideology. And you think it's just a cartoon. And you're wrong. Even, go back. Everybody talks, we were talking about this morning, about old TV. And how that, well, it's wholesome. It's good stuff. Well, listen to me. Why don't you go back and watch some of it? Okay? Think about the timeline of what was going on in the 50s and the 60s. When all of this wholesome TV that we go watch all the time. You know, it's weird because I never watched some of this stuff. And I am now a little bit. And I'm just like, there it is. And what was the music that was going on at the same time? Oh, well, see, but wait a minute. We don't listen to world's music. But we do watch this. Well, do you think the devil is stupid? We've talked about him and what a trapper he is. No, he just baited the trap with something different. And the end result is still your foot in a trap. Why would he put something he knows you're not going to listen to? Because, hey, you have morals, you know. We don't listen to that garbage. Well, listen to the music from the 60s. What was it about? It was the sexual revolution and all that stuff. And it sounds so innocent or whatever. I mean, how bad can the Everly Brothers be? But what was half of their music about? Staying out all night with your girlfriend. Well, why does it shock everybody that the fruit that's come out now is the garbage that it is? You know, we sit around and look at our families and they're all fell apart and half of us don't even talk to each other and they live immoral and they live wicked and they shack with each other and they go and do things that are unspeakable and they talk evil of God and His Word and the church and they despise everything that ever was poured into them. And we just don't understand why. And we grieve because they followed after the counsel of the ungodly, I guess. No, you did. I did. The problems that I have, even now, making my children understand where God's coming from with some of this stuff and applying it to their life even now in the sheltered, controlled environment that my children are raised in is because of the junk that I did for the first 12 years of their lives. It's my fault. It's my fault. I was the gatekeeper and I left the door wide open. And yet we still will walk after the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible says right there, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me just say this and I'll be done. It's funny when you read this, he starts out walking. But he don't stay that way. You take off, you're walking down the path of life. You're making progress. You're progressing through life. And you start walking after the counsel of the ungodly. Before long, you're going to be standing. You're going to be walking no more. You've stopped. Now you're standing in the way of sinners. That's not standing in a sinner's way. You're standing with them in the way that they're going. You know, and it's like the frog that gets boiled in the pot. By the time you wake up, if you ever do, and realize, oh my word, I can't believe that this is us. It's too late. Most people don't, though. They are morally autonomous, remember? They have justified everything that they believe, listen to, the counsel they take, the people, and to the point where before long, they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. They are the ones that are looking at you saying, what's wrong with you, you holy roller? They scorn you for dressing right. Yep. And then you'll dress like them so that you don't have to bear any reproach. You're on your way to being the scorner if you ain't already. Yep. And here's the thing. You'll be the victim of scorn in the things that you think are moral. But then you'll turn right around and be the scorner of somebody that you think ain't right. We were talking about it this morning. Anna made the comment about going in the store, you know, dressed modestly, and how, you know, cold and judgmental the girls that work in there treat a young girl like that goes in there dressed different than them, not dressed like some whore.
Yes. Exactly.
And I said, well, okay. Yeah, I know. And we know all the reasons that we give our children to try to encourage them to continue to do what's right that way. I said, but let me ask you this. I'm just asking a question. I'm not accusing. Just ask yourself this question and go on about your way. How do you feel when you see someone dressed more modestly than what you'll dress? You know, I've heard so many people rail on the poor Mennonite girls about how they dress so plain and everybody's dress looks just the same and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ugly patterns and yada-yada, and they won't wear flowers on their dress and blah, 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 blah. And we all know why they dress that way. But I've never seen one dressed immodestly. Why would you disparage a woman that would at least, if she's wrong in every other way, why would you disparage her at least dressing where you couldn't see her nakedness?
Yep.
Be careful, because see, that's a good example of you being morally autonomous.
Yep.
If you are that person, man or woman, then you are already walking after the counsel of the ungodly. It's affecting your life, because if you ain't careful, you'll find yourself. Because here's the deal. Who makes fun of people who dress modestly? Christians? Well, they do now. Because they're walking after the counsel of the ungodly. They're standing in the way of sinners. And guess what? Now they are the scorners that sit in those seats and claiming to be children of God. And it's a bunch of lies. They are deceived. You know, if I get to heaven someday, I would like to face the Lord and have erred on the side of caution and not made fun of someone dressing morally. My soul.
Yep.
The counsel of the ungodly, that's what they counsel you to do. There's so much more I'm going to talk about this month on this. But ask yourself this question. This is what I did. And I mean, you better do it every day. You know, where do I get my counsel from? You know, you might say, well, I don't go seeking after lost people for advice on how to raise my kids. Well, of course not. You're not dumb. You're not that ignorant to blatantly do that and possibly draw the ire of your peers in church. You know, give me a little credit. I'm not. But you seek it in a whole lot of other areas. And it means something to you, whether you want to admit it or not. It means something to you that those people out there, we blanket label them as the world. The Bible calls them the ungodly. We don't like to call them that because if we use the Bible standards, well, next thing you know, we're sitting in the seat of the scornful right there with them because we're ungodly too. So we relabel things and say the church and the world. And that's where I find myself. Where do I get my counsel from? Whose opinion matters most to me about whether I'm doing right or not? About whether what I'm doing is right or not? Do I find someone who I know walks with God and say, examine my life and tell me honestly if you think I'm doing the right thing or not? No, the world says you don't need to care about what anybody else thinks. You are your own person. You need to make choices for yourself. Be true to yourself. Follow your heart. Blah, blah, blah. And it's garbage. And yet we all do it. Whether we fly that banner or whether we just live that life. But whose counsel are you following? Whose counsel matters to you? Because what matters most is what will dictate the way you live your life. It'll dictate the way you discipline your kids. It'll dictate the things you watch on television and the music you listen to and the people that you'll let sit in your house or the people you'll go sit in their house and the junk that you'll listen that they do in their life. And for the sake of acceptance and for the sake of not being judged as someone that's closed-minded or narrow-minded or judgmental, you'll tolerate and accept their ungodliness. And the next thing you know, it's on you. And the next thing you know, you're in it. And the next thing you know, you're out. Look around us. I mean, my soul, at the people that I've seen that I know. I mean, I'll not say their names, but I know you know who they are. And we're so quick to look out over the fence, but what about us? And what about our house and all that? But it's the progression that happens. It's the digression that happens. You tolerate it. They embrace it. That's how it works. Yep. Every time. Every time. To the point where it hits the wall and they see that it is utterly destructive, then they might veer back away from it a little bit. But I've always wondered, you know, why do you see a kid that grows up in a drunkard's home grow up and be a drunk? Or why do you see a girl who grows up and watches her mother get the snot beat out of her every weekend? How come she always winds up with some guy that beats the snot out of her every weekend? Don't make no sense, right? Well, it's about the counsel. Anything that anybody tells you, you need to realize this, it's counsel. Yes. Everything that someone says to you, or everything you say to someone else, is counsel. It's your advice to try to make them, honestly, conform to the way you think and what is right. And they're doing the same thing to you. And that's the interact. This is the world that we live in and the arena that we find ourselves in. And everything the devil's devised is created to counsel you away from this. Away from this. The church, the system God has set up for you to have a anchor point for righteousness. His word and his church and his the leadership he sets up. You'll literally take your counsel from Facebook memes before you'll go to your pastor. And then we wonder why the world's in the shape it's in, why our churches are in the shape they're in. I'm telling you, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.